Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, you have a microphone.
Yep, we can go back and forth.
Look at that. I thought I was going to have to share with you. My name is Pastor Susie and my husband, Jay. We are the pastors here at Dwelling House Church.
Yeah.
Look at that. We are so excited for today. I did put tissue in my pocket. I had to make sure that I at least had something.
She's locked and loaded.
I am. But there's so much to celebrate. Today's service is going to be a little bit different for various reasons. There's just a lot that's going to be going on. There will be a little bit of teaching. We're going to talk about our name launch, all of that stuff. And so we are so excited to have you here with us because there's just so much to celebrate and so much to look forward to.
Yes. And so what are our announcements? What do we have going on today?
That's why I look to you.
First of all, if you have not gotten in a group, our group's just launched, make sure you get into a group. Our groups meet throughout the city, all over, various days of the week. It's the best way to get connected to the community of the church, right? To encourage one another, to grow in faith together. And so join a group. Go to dwellinghousechurch.com. I guess that's an announcement itself.
Oh, yes.
We have a new website. So go to dwellinghousechurch.com, and you can sign up and find the available groups there and sign up for a group there as well.
And if there's not a group that seems to, like, work for you, I would encourage you, connect with each other. If you're just like, hey, I want to do, like, have a Bible study or something like that. Like, if you don't see something that works, we would encourage you to connect with one another. Connect with us. We can get you guys connected. The purpose is we want you guys gathering.
Yeah.
And studying the word together.
That's right. That's right. And so then also we have the lunch. Talk about the lunch.
Yes, we have a lunch after celebrating just everything. So if you have some time, we want to encourage you. There is some food and eat with us.
I just found out about it like this morning. I was like, we are?
So,
I didn't know.
Yeah, so to stick around and have some lunch with us.
Yeah, we have lunch, but we got,
you know,
got all sorts of fun stuff around. We got cookies with our logo on it.
Yes, it's I'm excited about that.
There's all sorts of fun stuff, so be sure to grab a treat too.
Yes.
Okay.
All right, so at this time, one of the things that we are going to be doing, and I realize I am really working on my communication because I did not communicate this. Kristen, I think I saw you. Kristen is here. Okay. So we have a church council, and our church council has about 4 to 5 people, and the church council's purpose is to make sure that there is financial stewardship and oversight and accountability with the tithes and offerings that are coming in. And honestly, for us, the council really is just a sounding board to help us navigate through, even if we're walking through some stuff personally, or we're finding we're kind of running any hiccups in the church or whatever the case may be. We have a church council that represents you. And so we are going to, at this moment, part of the way that our setup is there needs to be like a commissioning or a confirmation or an affirmation.
By the congregation.
By the congregation.
Because the council is made up of people in the congregation.
Right.
Okay. So we have 4 at a time that serve 2-year terms. Typically, we're working on that.
We are getting better.
We're getting better at
that. So what we're going to do is we're going to first invite our council members that have been serving. One council member has been serving for 8 years. So like we're saying, we're getting better at it.
We promise.
And then we have another council member who's been serving for about 7 years. So if Abigail and Tom could come on up, that would be great.
Can we welcome them up? Oh, I'll grab it.
So we just wanted to say thank you to the both of you for serving our church faithfully with integrity, for holding us accountable. Switch. Yeah, sorry, that's for Tom. That's
just clearly she's the one that put this together. Okay. There you go.
But we just want to say thank you, guys. We've appreciated your wisdom and insight and everything that you've brought. And we appreciate your lengthy service to our church. Tom, it's been 7 years?
Seven or eight, somewhere in there. I don't know. Not as long as Scott.
Scott might hold the record for longest council member here at Chapel Valley. Yeah.
Again, we're getting better.
We are getting better. So it's been about 7 to 8 years. And Abigail has the mind and memory of the best thing around. Abigail, how long has it been?
It's been 8 years.
Eight years. Sorry, I'll come on this.
Oh, it's okay.
We can scoot this way, too. Okay. So anyways, we just wanted to quick say thank you guys for your service. And then we're going to invite Steve and Kristen to come on up. So if you would come up, this is where I realized I did not say Kristen, didn't tell you. Sorry about that. And then Kip and Taylor, would you come on up as well? Sorry, I didn't tell you guys. Kip and Taylor are also currently serving on our council. So we have Kip and Taylor here. Kristen and Steve, you guys can come on up. So what we're going to do, you guys can come up on stage. What we're going to do is we're just going to, you want to lead the affirmation part or prayer part?
Sure. I'm just thankful. I mean, Tom and Abigail were a part of like the whole process during the building transition and all of that. There's a lot going on for a little bit there. I think that was through COVID, all of that. And so there was just a lot has changed within our church since they became council members about 8 years ago. And when you look back and we think about all the places we've been, the journey we've been on, all the parks that we've met at, right, the hotels and restaurants and homes and wherever we could go. We always would say, if you can find our church, you belong here, right? Well, now we have a house, right? So we got a place, right? And so we're just really grateful for your guys' service. So what I think we should do is I think we should pray over them first, and we'll just bless you guys if that's okay. So can you guys just step right in front here? And then we're just going to lay hands on you. And church, can we just extend our hands in agreement? And let's just pray and over them. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the faithful service of Tom and Abigail. Lord, for their dedication to this church body. Lord, for the wisdom that you have given them, Lord, to steward well, Lord, the resources that have come in, Lord, to be faithful and diligent, Lord, to the assignment, Lord, that you placed on them for this time. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would just bless them, Lord, as they exit out of this into a new season. Lord, that you would give them new vision, Lord, fresh vision, Lord, for the things that are ahead. Lord, that you would just continue to lead them by your spirit and grace and wisdom, Lord, that they would know you, that they would follow you, Lord, that they would hear your voice so clearly. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that their love for you is deep. Yes. Lord, that their love and their passion and desire for you is great. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would make it burn even brighter. Yes. Lord, that they would just have such a desire and such a hunger, Lord. I pray blessing, Lord, over this new season, Lord, that whatever they are going into, Lord, that your blessing would be on them. Lord, that they would know that you are near at all times. And Lord, that you are leading them faithfully. You are a faithful God, Lord Jesus. We thank you. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, he said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And then what we'll do is we'll have Kristen and Steve come on over. And one thing that we need to do is the church. Can you guys come forward, please? The one thing that we need to do is the church needs to affirm them as the council members. Now, they have been a part of the church for... Kristen has been a part of the church for decades. Let's just go there. And then Steve has been a part of our internship program. He has been a part of our church, faithfully serving for about 10 years, right around 10 years. And so they've been a huge blessing to our church. They are people who believe in giving. They are people who believe in the provision of the Lord. And they have shown tremendous character as they continue to walk with Jesus. And so we all agreed that they would be great candidates for this next season. And we have decided to present to you the new council members. And if you all agree, all we need is an aye, okay? So if you would like to, if you agree, Steve and Kristen, as serving as the next council members for a 2-year term, everybody say aye. Aye. Amen.
Amen.
Thank
amen.
You.
Amen.
All right. And they have so wonderfully agreed to this. Yeah. All right. So what we would like to do is we'll lay hands on them, and we're going to pray over them as well. So can we just do that? Extend our hands to them again. Thank you, Lord. Do you want to lead?
Sure.
Go ahead.
All right, well, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the faith and expectation that both Kristen and Steve lead their personal lives with. God, I thank you that they are people who look to you as the author and finisher of their faith. Lord, I thank you, God, that you're going to give them, you're going to continue to give them the strategic wisdom and understanding of how to lead and come and partner with us in this season to be a reflection of the congregation, to hold us accountable, and to have us continue to move forward in whatever you have for us in this new season as our church. So, Lord, we just honor and we bless them, Lord. We pray that you would continue to just give them the wisdom and understanding that they need. We thank you for what you're doing in this place and what you're doing in them individually and corporately, what they will add. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. All right, can we just welcome our new members? Thank our exiting council members. We'll have you come back.
Hello. So as Jay mentioned, we are having lunch after church, and the main purpose of that is to celebrate Jay and Susie, because if you didn't know, they've been senior pastors for 10 years now. So let's just... Yeah. And I think it's so cool how the Lord just worked out the timing of the name change and the anniversary. And I'm already running short on breath, but that's okay. So we just have a little gift for you guys. I'm going to open it for you so you don't have to stumble through this. Or maybe I'll let you open it, and I'll talk about how great you are. So, yeah, we just invite you guys to join us after service. We're going to have some food and cake, even more sweetness for all of us. And we just are presenting them with this plaque to honor their 10 years serving our church. And the scripture that's on there, here, let me read it.
Yes.
I don't have it memorized. Okay, it says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And that, I just feel like, resembles everything that they've done the last 10 years, and I know that they'll continue to do. They're good stewards of the gift that God has given them. And I just love you guys. So there you go. I think that's it. So yay, Jay and Susie, yeah. 10 years with them.
You know,
so join us for a meal after church.
Yes. Yeah, you know, I just wanted to quick, I've been reflecting on the last 10 years, and I was sharing with Mary and someone else this morning that these 10 years have not been a smooth 10 years. There has been some deep lows that we have experienced and many times that we've just wanted to throw in the towel. And I want to say that, I mean, and sometimes the enemy's voice has been loud and glaring. And so as I've been reflecting on these 10 years, and it's a 10 years of God faithfully sustaining us, whispering in when it felt like he was a whisper of the vision that he's given us to serve this community, as I've reflected on the people we've baptized, people who've come to know the Lord. And something that I want to say, because I think it's very much worth saying, is I just want to thank you guys for just making space and room for our family. Our kids did not ask for this. They were born into it. And one of the greatest honors is how you guys have made space for our kids to be kids, our space for our kids to be teens, and space for our kids to be young adults. And that is honestly the greatest gift, that we would be held, that in the midst of everything, that people would hold our family the way that they've held our family. And thank you, kids, for... allowing us to use you guys as examples, even when we've not asked you all of a sudden. But we just love all three of you. And Mary Koopman, when we were here 10 years ago, she called them the junior pastors. And so we know that God has called you each individually deeply. And we are so proud that you are our children and that you are in this together with us. We are just extremely honored that we get to be your parents. And so I just want to say that, because I want to say that really you guys have made space for our kids to just to grow in this process and really not look like as a fishbowl, not, you know, looking in, or you've allowed them to just be. And allowing them to just be in the midst of everything has been one of the greatest gifts. And so we just want to say thank you to our kids and thank you to our church family for holding us, for praying for us, for words of encouragement that would come when we didn't even know it. Veda, I just want to say thank you because Veda will just send us a word. Hey, I was praying for you guys. Those things have held and held us. And so we believe that there are some great things ahead. And we know that leading is, that there's just some great things the Lord has put on our hearts. And so just thank you for partnering with us in the different capacities and ways and making space for us to grow. I was also thinking about that. We've we've grown. I always say, who let us get married young was the first one.
Now that we have kids, and I'm like, we got married at this age.
We did get married very young.
That's crazy.
Who let us get married young, and then who would hand a church to us when we were very inexperienced in so many ways, but just in a church that would receive us with joy. And support us and let us grow in front of you and stumble through scripture and be like, I think that's right, and all of those things. That's what these 10 years have been apart. And so we are excited for what is ahead, but I don't want to leave that part. So
Great. That's good. And we're going to go into a video just a moment, just talking about Dwelling House and really the things that the Lord's put on our heart for the next season. The things that he's spoken to us, and we wanted to make it very clear to you guys. And we were talking about, like, well, do we want to just give a message and kind of share our heart? And we were like, well, we already did this, so we're going to show the video. And David, our Pastor David, did a great job on the video. And so we're going to show that. We're going to make this available on our website as well. But this is really the origin story of the name Dwelling House. And how many of you know a name is more than just a name, right? It's not just a trend. It's not something that's just cool. I would never have thought of this name nor picked this name, but it was given to us by the Lord Jesus, and I'm so grateful. So we're going to share a little bit about that. Before we move on, because we did forget, if you are new here, so we redid a bunch of stuff. We got welcome cards in the pews in front of you. If you are new, if you could just take a moment and write your name on that, your contact information. We would love to stay connected with you and just to connect with you, care for you. You can take that, put that in the offering box, which is located at the entrance of the sanctuary after service. Also, if you have a tithe or an offering that you would like to give to the Lord, you can give online at dwellinghousechurch.com, or you can drop your offering in that same offering box. That said, I don't think we say this enough, but we believe in giving. We believe in generosity. We believe in what Scripture says, that when we put the Lord first in our finances, he is faithful and he provides for every need, and everything we have belongs to him anyways. So when we give, we are giving to the Lord and putting our trust in him. But I don't know if you guys know, our church also gives, that we are a tithing and giving church as well. So all funds that come in, we too tithe and give as a church body as well. And so it is something that we believe in. It is a core value of our church that we would be generous in our giving. And the Lord has been faithful, has he not? Church, has he not been faithful? Yeah, I'm looking for some feedback there. I still drive up this driveway and I'm like, how did we get here? I don't even know. This is wild and crazy, and every need just keeps getting taken care of. So let's give our attention. We're going to put this up on screen, and then we'll come up afterwards with some more, sharing more of our heart.
Hello, Dwelling House family. How exciting to actually finally launch our new name. About a year ago, maybe even to date, we voted almost unanimously to change our name from Chapel Valley to Dwelling House. And while I naively thought we could do it just like that, Pastor Jay, with a lot more experience, knew that it would take some time. So to finally be here, there is so much excitement and anticipation that I have, that I hope that you have too.
My wife and I, we became senior pastors of Chapel Valley Church about 10 years ago. And at the time we were called Chapel Valley Church, and that was the name of the church because previously, before we were mobile, we were meeting on Chapel Valley Road, and with a strong desire to be a part of the community, to engage and to reach out. Well, when we became mobile in 2009, Susie and I became the pastors in 2015, and people would often ask us, you know, are you guys looking to change the name of the church? You know, it's kind of a new season. You guys aren't located at Chapel Valley Road. And the answer was always, you know, we don't just want to change the name just to change the name. We don't want to just come up with something that is current or trendy or cool. We really wanted a name that the Lord would give us.
You know, as I've reflected on the last 10 years of us being senior pastors, I see the faithfulness and goodness of God. I have seen and witnessed him on like the mountain highs, and I have seen and experienced him in the valley lows. And through it all, he's been faithful, he's been good, and he's been true to his word and true to us as his church, and specifically even to us as just a sweet father of who he is.
Well, fast forward to somewhat more recently, and I was just began the year and I began to pray through the book of Psalms, and I came to Psalm 27. And as I was praying, it comes to the scripture where David really expresses his heart to what he desires. And he says, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord." And I knew in that moment that the Lord was saying, that is who you are. He said, that is who you are. I'll never forget it. I was sitting on my couch praying. And as I read it, it just dropped. That is who you are, dwelling house. That really, our church, the Lord wants to do a new thing, that he's birthing this new season by the Holy Spirit, that this would be a house of prayer, that this would be a house of presence, and that this would be a house for his people. You know, as I'm reading that, something that stands out to me is David was known as a man after God's own heart. And he was the king, he had all things, and he had really acquired much in the world, but really his desire all dwindled down to just one thing. One thing I have desired, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. And my prayer is that as we go into this new season, as we walk obediently before the Lord and we allow his name that he's given us, Dwelling House Church, to be a prophetic declaration of the things to come, that we would have a heart that would match the heart of David, that would say, only one thing is needed. One thing do I desire, that I may come into the house of the Lord, to be in his presence, to gaze upon his beauty, right? To inquire in his temple. You know, what a beautiful picture and what a beautiful thing that I believe the Lord is wanting to do right here in our church. One thing I've desired of the Lord, that will I seek. Notice we need to be intentional about coming into the presence of the Lord. Sometimes I think we come in as spectators and we expect to just be entertained or to be served. But really, when we exalt the name of Jesus and we give glory to him, the Holy Spirit comes in and he begins to move and he fills the house with his presence. That this would be a place where everybody comes in and encounters the presence of the Lord.
The first thing is, we believe that he's calling Dwelling House to be a house of prayer. Now, that might seem like, well, okay, we pray. But we believe that in this season that he has us wanting to focus on being a house of prayer, that we would be a people that would go to prayer before we go to other people, that we would be a church that contends in prayer, learns how to intercede together in unity for a move of God, that we would be moved with compassion as a church body. And in that compassion, we would know first and foremost, the call is for us to pray. We see that in the book of Acts, which oftentimes we're like, we want to be like the church of Acts. We want to see these miracles and a revival and all this stuff. But the first foundational thing that they were doing, whether they were in their homes, whether they were in prison, or whether they were out and about, they were a people of prayer. And not only did they pray, but they prayed specifically for boldness and courage. And I think that being a house of prayer is that our hearts begin to echo those words, that we would be a people that would move and say, Lord, not my will, but your will. Jesus, I must decrease so that you would increase. This is what it looks like to be a house of prayer. And we believe that that is the foundation of everything we're to do moving forward. Because when we learn how to pray corporately and together, oh, how beautiful it is. There is nothing more that I love than praying with other people. Not because it's comfortable, because honestly, I still get uncomfortable praying for people and around people. But I love when we pray together because you begin to see and hear the reflection of the Father's heart that is captured in each one of us. And as we come together, we're a greater reflection of Him. So our heart is that we would be a house of prayer, that we would seek His kingdom first and that His will would be done, that prayer would be the foundation of all that we do. The second thing is that we would be a house of His presence and that we'd be comfortable with being a house of His presence and the different expressions of His presence. We see that we would be, or my heart is that we would be like Moses that would say, we're not going without your presence. Because what good is it to gather together on a Sunday or to gather together in a small group or gather together in a prayer group and not encounter His presence together? You know, I find that there are so many distractions that get in my own personal way, whether it's on a Sunday in worship and, you know, I have my phone going off with maybe different things that are happening, you know, either with sound or technology or in kids' church, right? Or I might go home and I might be praying and all of a sudden my phone is going off, my dog is barking excessively, whatever it is. There's so many things that will try to contend for us to just scratch the surface, to just be like, okay, I worship. But there is something about learning how to press into the presence of God. It can honestly sometimes be slightly uncomfortable because His presence is so magnificent and so amazing. But our heart is that His presence would dwell in this place, that we would be the dwelling house for His presence to be. Now, we know that the presence of God can't be just kept in one place, but that we are to be people who carry His presence wherever we go. But something happens when we come into the presence of God in unity and we learn how to encounter that, when we begin to see the expression of the fruit of the Spirit at work in this place. And some of that happens in worship, that comes through the Word, that comes by us engaging with one another. That's all about being in His presence and different expressions of His presence. But I am so excited that we would just be a people that would be a house of His presence, a house of prayer, and then the last thing is that this house would be for His people. This is not about us being elevated or creating a church that we're comfortable with, but we believe that being a house for His people means that we're a house of salvation, of healing, of hope, of freedom, that there, as we experience His presence, that as an outflow of that, we create a house for His people, that His people would encounter those things, that His people would encounter His presence, and that we would continue to make room for people, that we would have our attention on people. You know, I think about when I go to a place that maybe I don't know if I'm gonna know anyone there or not. I know that when I walk into a room, I'm specifically looking, is there anyone here that I might know that might help me feel comfortable? I would want us to be a church that when we walk into this church, when we walk into this place, that we would be looking for the presence of God, that we would be leaning in to hear His voice, that we would be, as we're encountering with one another, as we're making space and room for one another, as people are experiencing mountain highs or valley lows, as we're making room for people in His presence and prayer, that we'd be looking for God in our midst. Now, I'm gonna tell you that that is such a beautiful description of what we want here for our dwelling house in this place, but let me tell you what the purpose is. Our heart is that we would be a house of prayer and we would take prayer to our homes, that we would be a house of His presence and that we would take His presence to our homes or wherever we're going, and that we would be a house for His people who would make room for His people in our homes, that we would begin to really reflect that church in Acts. When you look at the church of Acts in the first couple chapters, and like I was saying, it was happening in prisons, it was happening in homes, it was happening on the streets. People were, Peter and John, they were praying for people in the streets. They were testifying and praying for boldness and courage. And we see all this. But something that is so beautiful that is said in Acts chapter 4. So Acts chapter 4, verse 13 says this. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. See, that encapsulates being a house of prayer, being a house of presence, and being a house for his people. That it was identifiable that they walked with the boldness and the courage, that it wasn't just about what they knew, but it was about who they knew. And that is our heart here for a Dwelling House. I think it's gonna take a minute for me to get still used to it. But our heart for Dwelling House is that we would be a people that other would recognize they've been with Jesus. They know Jesus. They know him deeply and intimately. They don't just know him by name. There are people who are a reflection of him. Isn't that beautiful? So I am so looking forward to this next season of us gathering together and with intentionality saying, hey, we're gonna make prayer a priority. Hey, we're gonna make it, we're gonna get beyond the uncomfortable place or the silence or the awkwardness, and we're gonna learn how to tap into his presence both corporately and separately. And then we are gonna be a people who are about his people. We're gonna make room. This is gonna be a home, a house for his people, but we would also make room for his people outside of this place, because that's what it's all about, right? It's all about going out and sharing the gospel, going out to the places we've never been, going out and sharing the goodness of God. Us coming and getting filled up on a Sunday, getting recharged, isn't just so we're recharged to go for the week. No, it's that we're recharged and we're looking and we're listening for Jesus everywhere we go, and we would be about his people because that's what he's about. He's after his people. He's after their heart. He's after them having an encounter with him. And we believe as we make this a priority, great things are going to continue to happen. Great things as we press into his presence, as we press into prayer, great things are going to happen both in our lives individually and corporately. So this is what we're looking forward to in this next season. And we invite you to come partner with us to look for Jesus in your prayer, to look for Jesus's presence wherever you're going, but especially when we're gathered together, and that we would keep our eyes out and make room for his people. And the people that don't know that they're his people yet, the people who don't know that they're called a child of God, that's the invitation, that we would look for those people everywhere we go.
You know, the interesting thing about a name, and we say this often when we do our child dedications, is that a name is really meant to be a prophetic declaration over someone or something. You know, oftentimes when you give a child a name, you look into the meaning of what that name is. And when you're saying the name, you're not just saying a name. Even if we say it with a little bit of frustration, right? If a child gets into trouble or they're doing something that they shouldn't be doing, you might say it with an aggressive tone or an aggressive approach, or, you know, with a little bit of excitement. But really, you are still speaking the meaning of that name, and it is a prophetic declaration over that child. In the same way, I believe that the Lord is speaking prophetically, bringing a prophetic sense, a prophetic word to our church, and he's saying, this is who I have called you to be in this next season. That you would be, that this church, that this house would be a house of prayer where people seek me, where people come to me, that they're not just trying to do life on their own, but that they believe in me, that they put their trust in me, that they seek me. But that this would also be a house of presence where every person that comes in, that even when new people or unbelievers come in, they would know there's something different about this place. And it's not just the people, it's not just the good, you know, functions of the facility or cool graphics. No, that our priority is the presence of the Lord, and that they would know him, and that they would sense his presence. And that this would be a house for people where all people, different races, ethnicities, backgrounds, cultures, that they could come in and be welcomed into an atmosphere of praise, of prayer, and of worship, where God moves, where the Spirit of the Lord moves freely and powerfully.
We're excited to be launching. We're so thankful for what God has done in these last 10 years, and we know that the best is yet to come. Some of our greatest days are ahead. Not that we won't have challenges, but know that as we face those challenges, as we face those valley lows or those mountain highs, God is there with us. He's never left us. He's never forsaken us, and He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We are so excited to be partnering with you in this. We love you guys.
All right. What do you think?
Yeah. What do you guys think? We filmed that a couple weeks ago, and it's great to see it together. But there really is like this anticipation. Like, I don't think we can underplay it. I don't think we can overplay it. There really is this anticipation of what can be. And it's not just us. Like, it's not, oh, hey, Jane, Susie, go. No, it's like for all of us, that there would be an awakening in us and that there would be something that would be ignited. And we're excited for what that is going to do for us here corporately, but also more importantly, what he's wanting to do in you guys individually, because he's still at work in and through us individually every day. Every day, as much as we're married and we're one, he's still doing stuff in Jay. He's still doing stuff in me individually, and us together. And so there's so much more to it. And we just want there to be an awakening in our hearts and our minds and to be reignited with the potential of what he has for all of us.
You know, as you were talking on the video, I was reminded, you know, when we're talking about the book of Acts and how they were all gathered together in one accord in prayer, right? And what does scripture say? It says the Holy Spirit was poured out. And they were filled with power. They were filled with boldness. Yeah. To what? To be witnesses.
Yeah.
Right? When the Holy Spirit comes, He empowers us to be witnesses for Jesus. When you begin to see Jesus for yourself, something ignites in you that I can't help but declare this to everyone around me, to the world and to the nations and to everybody in my life, in my family, my friends, right? And so there is this, as we pray, there's this empowering, this boldness, this move of the Spirit that is to come. And I don't know if you've noticed, but how many of you know the world has, there's darkness is real. Did you know that?
Yeah.
There's darkness all around. We see it. And I see things on the news and I'm just like, I can sense the spiritual darkness that is present and at play. And all I can say is, Lord Jesus, would you come?
Yeah.
All we can do is begin to cry out and say, Lord, we need you. I need you. And to begin to call on the name of Jesus, and that we would be people that don't just go to church because, well, I just want to be a better person. No, we go to church because we worship Jesus together. We exalt the King of Kings. We exalt and we say, no, in spite of everything that's going on, despite of all the darkness that exists in this world, you are King and you are coming again.
Yeah.
And so I stand here and wait in eager expectation. And as we do that, what happens? The Holy Spirit is moving. The Holy Spirit is poured out. He heals us. He fills us with Himself. Amen?
Yeah.
Are you guys with me?
Yeah. You know, this morning as I was praying, I was reminded of Isaiah 60, where it says, arise, shine, for the light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over me, and His glory, because it's about Him, and His glory shall be seen upon you. That when we are rising in the morning, that we would just be people that say, Lord, I arise and I give you glory. God, I would pray, would you be glorified in my life today? When we would, our faith, we have to build up our own faith. I was just sharing with Samantha last night. My mind started wandering about something really irrelevant, honestly. And I was getting ready and the thoughts kept pounding in. And all of it was really right in my head, if I'm not going to lie. I had all of the case in my mind of why I was right, what I was going to do about it. And all of a sudden I like stop myself and I'm like, this is the enemy. He wants to get me distracted. He wants to get my attention off something that seemed right and get my mind off
the things of God and what we are walking into. So I'm either walking into the season with a clear mind, and the only person that can take control of your mind is you. And so I was like, I'm stopping this conversation by myself. I'm stopping this case that I've made in my head. And I just put worship music on. I just started worshiping. I had to rise. I had to allow the Lord to rise in me. And so I believe that as we're coming into this, there is a participation that is required of us. And as thoughts are coming in, as we're facing whatever we're facing, it is really up to us to stop the conversation and turn our attention to Jesus.
So we're going to go in and we're going to just go into a time of prayer. I'm going to invite the elders that we've spoken with. If you guys can come forward and just lead our church in prayer for this time. And so we spoke to some, come on up, and we're just going to pass the mic. And then church, can we just agree and be in one accord? Let's not tune out, don't get distracted, but that we would ask of the Lord. And really, and just anticipate a move of the Lord and really for the next season that is ahead. And so come on up, guys.
Maybe two steps.
Okay.
Yep, come on, Mr. Fred.
Yeah, I can. I'll move up. So we're just going to give you guys the mic, and we can just start. We can just pass it around. It's all good. But church, can we stand? Can we stand together? And let's just lift our hands to the Lord, and let's just be in agreement right now. Lord Jesus, you are wonderful. Lord, this church is not about one person. This church is not about status. This church is not about influence. Lord, this church is dedicated to you.
Yes.
You are the shepherd of this church. You are the one that we long for. You're the one that we look to. You're the one that we need. The world says there's 100 different answers, but Lord, there's only one thing that's needed. Lord, that there would be a heart in us, Lord, that matches the heart of David, who was a man after your heart. One thing is needed. One thing I have desired, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. Would you give us eyes to see? Would you give us faith, Lord, to lift our voices in the night, to call out on behalf of our families, to call out on behalf of our city, on behalf of our nation, Lord, to invite a move of the Spirit, Lord, that we've never seen before, to see you move in our families, to see you move in our houses, Lord, to see you move in our workplaces, in our schools, Lord, everywhere that we go, Lord, that you would fill us with your Spirit to be witnesses, Lord, and ambassadors for your kingdom, Lord. We say, your kingdom come, your will be done. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, we worship you. There's none like you.
Lord, we just thank you for everybody being here today. We are a dwelling house, a house that becomes a home when we are all united here. We can feel you fill this place with your Spirit today. We thank you for all the blessings you've given us in our life. And we look forward to the continued blessings that you're about to bestow upon us in this house of the Lord.
Lord, what a pleasure it has been to watch this community grow. What a pleasure it has been to hear the words, you're always faithful to us.
Yes, Jesus.
What a pleasure it has been to over and over again have answers to our prayers. I know this is a place that people are going to be called to. I know they're going to pass by, and I know they're going to feel the presence in here.
Yes.
And we're going to continue to grow. We're going to continue to invite people to this place, and people are going to long for you. People are going to search for you,
yes,
and they're going to find answers here. Lord, I pray, and I know that we're going to continue to grow. And I love that you call this our dwelling place. What better place to be than to be here? And people are going to feel that. Yes. People are going to share that with one another. And we are going to continue to bring people in to know you. Father, I pray that you continue to grow in us. I hope that you open our ears, open our eyes to hear you, and to let us know and let us see what we can do to serve you.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, come.
Come, Lord.
Be with us. We know your presence is with us, but we pray and ask that your presence would be with us every time someone is in this house. And we thank you and praise you for everything that you will do. Lord, help us. Help us, your people, to be bold, to be strong, that we would go forth as you stretch forth your hand to heal and to do everything you wish to have done. We thank you for your presence here. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you do for us. Amen.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Father, one of the wonderful passages from your Bible that came to mind was a remembrance of something like this being done way before Jesus even came, because you're the same yesterday, today, and forever, when Solomon dedicated the temple and his beautiful prayers for his people, for sure. But what really stood out and what has been spoken by the pastors and I think is in the hearts of everyone here is that Solomon also said, when that stranger comes, when that foreigner comes, when he comes to the temple, because even from afar off, and that can be a distance or that can just be a heart place where we've been far from the Lord, when he sees something going on here in your holy temple, when he sees how wonderful you are, how mighty you are, when he sees that, he will come. And don't disappoint him. Don't disappoint him. Let him experience your wonderfulness, your greatness. This is a world where we just every day seems like there's another dark thing happening. There is deep darkness. But what I got the picture of was an auditorium, a dark auditorium, and a little firefly just darting around, just darting around. Where does everyone's eyes go? Onto that light. Because even the biggest Lord. Darkness cannot take away the light. The light overcomes Lord. It. Jesus came into the world as light. It said the darkness could not overcome him. So we are light. We have an opportunity to be light. It's on us, as Pastor Susie was saying, we have to do our part. We're your light. We're your body. Even before the Lord's return, we have much to do here to demonstrate light, to be the church that people want to be a part of. So I thank you, Lord. I ask you give Jay and Susie and the other pastors and leaders great discernment. Give them great discernment, knowing each step of the way, feeling absolutely certain that they're going in the right direction. I know that's their desire. We agree with them for that. In Jesus' name.
Yes, amen. Amen.
Father, I appreciate the name Dwelling House. To me, it just reflects a place of refuge, a place of refueling, and a place of resources. So, Lord, it becomes a storehouse to really bless the people who enter in and the community that dwells within. Lord, so that they can be both salt and light amongst themselves, but also in the community. And Lord, the verse that comes to me is, as I think forward, Lord, I pray that you would allow this faith community, the Dwelling House people, to increase in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, that we would see forward in such a way that we could make choices today that would ensure the outcome that you have shown us. Lord, stature, that you would develop within us the infrastructure, sort of the skeleton to carry the weight of your glory and the things that you want to do. And then, Lord, favor with God and man. Lord, that's the same word, grace. But what it is divine influence to interface with people in a kingdom way, and for other people to interface with us in a redemptive way, where they can be shaped and guided and led into fruitful lives. So Lord, that's my prayer. It's an ongoing prayer. I think it's a never done prayer. Just keep praying it, because we're always moving forward and seeing increase. But Lord, I do agree with the words, the prophetic words that you've said throughout the years. The things that, the hope that you have established, and the things that we believe we'll see. And so, Lord, I pray that you would strengthen us to be strong in you, Lord, and in the power of your might, and that it wouldn't be shocking for us to see you display yourself in great weightiness, great glory, and great outreach. Lord, we're preparing for that. We believe for that, and we believe before it's over, we will see it. And we give you thanks. Amen.
Father God, I just thank you, Lord, that you will fill this place and have filled this place with passion for you. Lord, that we would be pursuers of your presence above and beyond all else. Any accolades, people coming in this building, Lord, it's all about you. And so, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for filling each one of us with passion, but, Lord, also compassion. Lord, give us eyes to see. Open the eyes, Lord. Open our heart, Lord, where we may have been, we've shuttered things down. Lord, that you would crack open those blinds in our hearts, Lord, so we can see as you see, not with our mind telling us what to do or how to react, but Lord, give us a heart of compassion for this family, and Lord, as well as for this community, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Lord, we just pray that you would cause many to dwell with you, because you dwell with us. Let people go forth from this church and increase the number that come in, but also increase the number that dwell with you wherever you may send them. Lord, be their dwelling place. Be our dwelling place. And let this church be mighty as a dwelling place for you.
Yes, Lord.
Our Heavenly Father, as we recognize who we're worshiping today, thank you that this too will be a house of worship, a house of prayer, a house of never leaving your presence, Lord God. As we dedicate it to you today, we dedicate ourselves to you as well, Lord God. You are doing a new thing, and you told us in your word, don't you know it? Thank you, Lord. Thank you that your word tells us continually to dwell in your presence, no matter where we go. And the main thing, Lord, as we've talked about other people, may we see them, Lord God, with the eyes of compassion, like when you love your people. May we love them that same way, Lord.
Yes.
Forgive us where we have fallen short.
Glory to Jesus.
But thank you for your grace and your mercy, your faithfulness in all of our lives, Lord. Bless each and every family represented here today, Lord God. And may they never forget you are the creator of their lives. In the mighty name of Jesus, thank you, Lord.
Oh, Father. Father, Father, Father. Thank you. Thank you for your signs and your wonders. The greatest sign of all is Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit descending on him and on everybody else who follows him. And right now, well, when we were praying earlier this morning as a group, I looked, like Jay always says, look to heaven. Pastor Jay knows what to do. He says, look up, see, look for Jesus. What do you see? What do you see? What do you see? I pray for this church to be a church who sees continually, who hears continually, who moves faithfully. Lord God, that the signs and wonders and all the excellence that you have for us, that nothing get in the way, Lord God, that we don't get in our own way, Lord God, that we seek you in everything, that we seek your presence, that we pray for your people, and we pray and we seek and we experience your presence, your faithful presence descending over and over and over and lifting us higher and higher and higher. And as you look back over your shoulder, you'll say, are you following me? And we would say, here we are, Lord. We're following you. We're with you. We're for you. We'll bring everybody with us. We're coming in leaps and bounds and around all those who surround us, Lord God. We will multiply and declare your glory in this place. And wherever we go, we will say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your mightiness. I thank you for Jay. I thank you for Susie for being faithful now for this 10 years, but all the years that you prepared them. And they said yes to you when they were little all the way through. I thank you for Tim and Kim who brought them up to this place, who brought us up to this place. I thank you for Larry and Veda and the founders of this church who brought us to this place right now. You have had good roots, and you're not about to dig us up and cast us out, but you will help us all cling to you as a vine and give off greater and greater and greater fruit. In Jesus' name, it is already done according to your will. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Well, Lord, we thank you. We come in agreement with everything that has been said. Lord, we thank you for the vision and the words that you've given and the representation here, Lord, for the wisdom that is represented here, God. We thank you. God, we thank you that you would surround us as a congregation with such amazing people, Lord, that we are not in this alone. Lord, we thank you for what you've done, and we thank you for what you've yet to do. Yes.
Can we just thank the Lord and say amen? Thank you, Lord. I know we're going a little long, but we're all going to eat together anyways. I just have a sense that the Lord wants us to just lay hands on anybody that's under the age of 25. If you guys can just come forward and just come right up here, we're just going to lay hands and we're just going to pray on you guys just for a moment. So under the age of 25, just come on up real quick. And we just want to pray over you. We're not going to ask you guys to do anything great. I just have a strong sense that the Lord wants to minister to each one of you. And what I mean by that is he wants to help you see the Lord. He wants you to help you see him and to really put a fire in your heart and a fire in your mouth for him and for his glory. And the world just has a way of pulling us constantly away. But when we give our heart to the Lord, there is a special place where he says, you are mine. I know you by name. I've called you. And I have a plan for your life. And if you will look to the Lord, he will sustain you. He will give you power to do the things that he has prepared for you to do. I've always say, I say this often, the greatest achievement in life is to know him and to love him. There's nothing greater, because when you have him, you have everything. You are rich. So what I'd like to do is, if we can just circle and go around them, just start beginning to lay hands on them. I'm just going to pray. And if you guys are out here, you can just lift your hands to the Lord and just like you're receiving a gift from a father, a good gift. Lord Jesus, I pray over these young people, Lord. Lord, that you would anoint them by your Spirit, Lord. Lord, that you would give them hearts, Lord, that are full of passion for you. Lord, that you would fill them now to overflowing. Lord, that you would fill them with power, Lord. Lord, that you would put a fire in their hearts, Lord. Lord, the heart that would a consuming fire, Lord, that would burn away all the things that are not of you. Lord, every addiction would break in the name of Jesus, Lord. Everything, Lord, the world has tried to get its grips into their hearts, into their minds, but Lord, you are greater. Jesus, you are the name above all names. And so, Lord, we break every addiction, every bondage, every stronghold, every word, every curse that's been spoken against them. Lord, things about identity, Lord, that is not who you have said they are, that is not who you've called them to be. Lord, we break those things off in the name of Jesus, the assignment of the enemy. We break it in Jesus' name and we say, Lord, have your way, Lord. Lord, renew their hearts, renew their minds, Lord. Give them eyes to see you and ears to hear your voice, Lord Jesus, that they would be light in the dark places, Lord. Lord, that as they go to the schools, as they go to their workplaces, Lord, as they go into their families and into the neighborhoods, into the cities and the byways, Lord, that there would be a light in them, Lord, that they would tell somebody about how good you are to them. Lord, that they really do know you, Lord, that you are available, not by what they've done, not because they're greater, but because of your mercy. You are rich in mercy. You are rich in love. Lord, that they would know your love, Lord Jesus, that they would know your love, that they would know your love, Lord, that they would sense your presence in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We all said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Let's thank the Lord. We're going to dismiss. If you need prayer, we're going to have people available to pray right here. If you need some more prayer, we would love to do that. Otherwise, please hang out with us and celebrate with us. But can we just thank the Lord for what he's speaking over this church and over us? Yeah. Amen. Anything? You good? All right. We love you guys. We love you guys. And I appreciate you guys, all you guys up here. This is a big deal. How many of you know the Lord's doing something in young people? I work at schools a lot, and I see the Lord moving. They're asking questions. They're good questions. And I'm like, yeah, that's a really good question. And there's just a hunger there.
Yeah, I will say this, and then we'll be done, or we can be done.
Yeah, we should be.
We should be done. But, you know, the thought is, someone was saying they were so afraid that they were having kids in this generation and this time. And in Psalms 139, it says that he's fashioned your days for you, which means that if you are in this time at the age you are, it's specific. Like, he's fashioned the days. He's put you in this time with all of the turmoil, with everything that's going on. It wasn't on accident. It was on purpose. It was with intention. And there's something deeply that he wants to do in and through you. And so the only thing that you need to do is continue to grow and learn and understand his voice. The rest is up to him, his timing, the way he works it out. But don't be afraid of these times. Know his voice, know what his word says, and know that he has set you apart for this time, that this timing and every little one after you guys is in his perfect timing. He makes no mistake. Even if it was a mistake, or someone told you once you were a mistake, he's not ever made one mistake in anything that he's done. And so from the creation, the time you were knit in your mother's womb, from that point, he started to create the story that he has for you, the timing he has for you. So just know that you are in his perfect time and that he is thrilled. Like, when I think about how thrilled I am about my kids, when I see them, like, it's even more beyond any of that. Like, anything that we could like comprehend, it's even greater than that, because he is so magnificent. He is so wonderful. And so just know he deeply, deeply, deeply loves you as you are. He loves you. He doesn't look at you as a disappointment. He doesn't look at your faith, none of that. He's waiting for you to say, all right, let's do this. And so just know that this timing is not on accident.
Yeah, if you've not given your life to Jesus, I'd love to lead you in that after this.
And if you haven't given your life to Jesus, also, I really believe that we're supposed to invite everybody who does not have their spiritual prayer language, because I caught myself doing it several times. And I go like, oh, some of these people can think I'm nuts. But it's a bigger, bigger deal, and you can get more. When you get salvation, you get even more. You get baptized in the Holy Spirit, and then he gives you a very personal, private prayer language. If you want to know how to speak to Jesus closer and tighter and hear him better and better and better, now is the time to step up and receive your prayer language. All you have to do is ask.
Amen.
And the rest, he does it all.
All right, so you guys can be dismissed to eat. If you need prayer, or you've not given your life to Jesus, or you want Mary to pray over you for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we'll make space for that. So other than
love
that, we love you guys. Love you guys.